This morning, I'd like to direct your attention to Ephesians, the second chapter. For our thoughts this morning, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. And this, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, saying, "And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." This morning we want to talk for a short time on the subject of the creation of man. And we want to look at how God created man and how man is supposed to be and how man is supposed to act and how he's supposed to conduct himself. And here we are going to see, as we go through the Bible, the story of man being created, and then there is another creation that man has to go through as well. Before we continue on, though, we have a wonderful opportunity to go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. So please humble yourselves as Brother Dan leads us in that prayer. According to Genesis, the first chapter, verses 26 and 27, "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." And this passage of Scripture tells us that God created man, that he made man a physical being, and that man, being a physical being, also had within him within himself, he had a soul. And here is this physical being that he created, or that he made him in. He put within him a soul. And in Genesis, the second chapter and verse 7, the Bible tells us there that Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So there was a physical creation that man was made in. And he was made in the image of God and the likeness, the Bible says. Now, this does not mean in the image or in the likeness such as in the form of God, but means in the image and the likeness as God is. Notice what he says here when he says that we'll create man. He says here, we'll create him after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man. Now we can ask ourselves over and over, why did God create man? And we may not ever come up with an answer within us that we like or that we fully understand. It's not up to us to question why God created or God made man. But we know that he did. Now here's something to think about. People who today who say that man evolved, that man came from the water and crawled out of the water and through millions of years became like we are today, need to understand that if that's the way we came about, we have no soul. There's no way that man can have a soul, an inner part of us that lives eternally, if that's how he came about. The Bible doesn't teach us that's how man came about. The Bible teaches us that God formed out of the earth, the dust of the earth, man. Full-grown man. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So with God creating us, we have within us a soul. We also have to ask ourselves, where did intelligence come from? Where did consciousness come from? If man crawled on the earth, if man lived in the trees, if man came along after millions of years, where did his intellect come from? Why is he the creature that has intellect, that has thought, that has an inner self, greater and higher than all the animals? And the only answer points to God, because that's how God created us. That's how God made man. And he put him on the face of this earth in his likeness and his image. That means in his intellect. He put man on this earth to be good. I want you to notice that in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. This follows after the verses where God created man in his image. And everything that he created was good, the Bible says. God can't create anything that's not good. It's really disturbing today when someone who is a homosexual wants to say, God made me this way. God didn't make you that way. He cannot make you that way. Why would God make someone in such a way that he himself would destroy it? Because God is against that form and that style of living. He does not agree with it. He has shown us that in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Apostle Paul preaches about that in the book of the Roman letter. So no, God did not make someone in a sinful condition. Everything God made was good. These people today that seem to think that they do evil because God made them that way, well, that's nonsense. Because everything God made was good. Every animal he created, every bird he made, every fish that he made, every mountain that he formed, every ocean that he filled, it's all good. There was nothing bad of anything that God created or that God made when he made it. And 1 Corinthians 11 and 7 says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. In this, the Bible that Paul is teaching to us, that man indeed is the glory of God. God, any of us that has gone out and made something is usually proud of that. Sometimes you like to show it off. Maybe it's a piece of furniture. Maybe it's a car you rebuilt. Maybe it's a dress that you made. Maybe it's a quilt that you made, or it's something else. And you're very proud of it. And you like to say, look at what I made. Look at what I did. Look at what I formed. Well, you don't think God's that way with us? How miraculous, how powerful is it that God made us? And that he made this body so it's totally functional. I've often wondered how the eyes see. It just baffles me. I'm sure that science and doctors and people can tell me how the eyes function physically, but it's just totally amazing to me when I think about we can see. And we can all see the same thing, and we all see it in the same way. It's just amazing to me to think about those things. But that's how God is. He's so great. And that's how God created us, and that's how God made us. In Genesis 3 and 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. He then tells him in the 19th verse, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Man was given a wonderful opportunity. He was placed in a garden where everything was at his fingertips. He didn't have to toil the ground to eat. He didn't have to go out and do anything. He was put there to keep and to dress this beautiful garden. He didn't fear the animals. He wasn't cold. He wasn't hot. He didn't need air conditioning. He didn't need heat. He didn't need shelter. Everything he needed was given to him by God, and it was all good. And God said, as we know, now look, there's a tree over here. You don't eat of that tree. It's a tree of good and evil. It's a tree of knowledge. You don't eat of that tree. And the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, as we know, Eve was tempted, and she was beguiled, and she put her hand to that, and she took it, and she ate it. And then she gave it to her husband, and he did the same thing. And because of that, man fell from this image that God had created him in. Man was no longer good. He could not be in his own self. He was no longer in the likeness of his Creator. He lost it because he transgressed a commandment that God had given to him. He could no longer be what he was designed to be. He could no longer be what God created him in. Because God is perfect and God is just. And every transgression, the Bible says, has to be paid for. And now here's a transgression. And man has done it. According to Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of man falling from the image and the likeness of God, he sinned. And because of sin, death came upon man. And now he was going to know something that he never was designed to know. As far as he knew, he didn't know anything about death, about separation, about dying, leaving loved ones. But now he is. Because you see, now that he's broken the command of God, now that he is not in the likeness and the image that God had made him in, he's going to suffer this. This is a consequence of sin itself. In the beginning, God gave man hundreds of years to live. We read all the way up through Noah, and we see where men lived even up into 900 years old. It didn't do him much good, because it seemed like the longer he lived, he didn't get any better. Because God looked down here on the earth in the time of Noah, you remember, and he saw man had changed his ways upon the earth. After the flood, God cut down man's years to 120. God saw it wasn't good for man to live so long. He wasn't becoming better. He wasn't making the world he was in better. But actually, as he was bad, it just became to get worse. By the time David come along, King David, he said that God had given to man 70 years. And pretty much that's where we hover around. The body's just not designed to live any longer than that. It's not designed to go on and on and on. It begins to deteriorate. Our eyesight's not what it used to be. Our hearing's not what it used to be. We can't get around like we used to. We can't get up and down like we used to. Heat begins to bother us more than it used to. Cold begins to bother us more than we used to. Body just not going to go on and on and on. It's going to deteriorate. And as he told Adam, from dust thou wast formed, and to dust thou shalt return. So it's going to be with each and every one of us. As the Hebrew writer says, that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Romans 3 and 23, Paul continues and says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of this glory that man was created in, as we read over in the book of Corinthians, that man is the glory of God, Paul says here, all have sinned and have come short of that glory that God had designed for man. So God wants to bring man back to Him. And He has to have this plan. And this is a plan that the Bible teaches us was made before the foundation of the world. Again, God just doesn't do something not knowing what can happen or what will happen. God realizes when He puts man in this test situation that man can fall. He didn't stop him from it. You say to yourself, well, God could have put a fence around that tree. God didn't have to put that tree there. God could have kept man away from that tree. But then what would man have been if he is not a creature that by his own free will, his own inward person, wants to serve him that created him? What kind of creation would that be to God? So God let man have access to that tree, knowing full well he could disobey. But God had a plan from the very foundation before He even made the world, and before He even made man, that would be able to restore man back to what man had lost. And in this, God creates man in a spiritual person. It's a spiritual creation, not a physical creation. We are already created. We already stand in our physical form. It's not that that God remakes. It's not that that God redoes. We may be short. We may be overweight. We may be skinny. We may be in many different shapes and forms. But that form is what we're born with. That does not change. But this inner man, that here, these things were made in the image of God, it indeed can change. And it must change. And how did he do it? Well, according to 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. God did it by sending His Son Jesus to die on this cross, who He says is the image of God. Now, He also goes on to tell us in Galatians 3 and 24, He says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So, if we are baptized into Christ, He says, we then have put on Christ. If we have put on Christ, then He is the image of God. What does that make us? Where does that put us back at? Well, we read in Colossians 1 and 15, He says, "Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature." Speaking of Jesus Christ, He is the image of the invisible God. Meaning, He's in this image that God created man. He is in His likeness, and He is good. He goes on to tell us in Romans 8 and 29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So them that God knew, and He knows all of us, He's not talking about He did a select few. He's talking about when He predetermined us, that's in a forethought plan. And remember we talked about that plan, that God had that plan before the foundation of the world? Christ didn't just die for a few people. He died for all mankind. And if whoever would be willing to come into Christ is who He's talking about, it was the plan that was predestined. It was that brought man into God's favor again by bringing him back into this image of this man here who is the image of the only living and true Almighty God. Romans 12 and 5 says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When we're in Christ, we become new, the Bible tells us. How are we new? We're restored in the image that we fell from. We are baptized into Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. Therefore, we become the image of God once again. We become good because our sins are washed away and we stand clean in the sight of God. We stand justified in His sight. In Galatians 6:13 through 16 says, "For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to the rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." Here Paul's simply telling to us, he says, look, under the old law, circumcision was something that was necessary to the Jewish people. It was a mark, a physical mark that set aside the men that they indeed were God's people. On the eighth day after they were born, they were circumcised. You remember Abraham at a full age was circumcised and all of his, because now they become God's people. They wanted to hold on to that physical mark that it meant something. Paul here is teaching to them, it's no longer a physical mark. It's no longer circumcision that availeth anything. Because a man is circumcised does not make him a Jew. You can circumcise a Gentile, he's still not a Jew. So a man today, or a woman, whoever wants to come into Christ, circumcision is not the question. It's being a new creature. It's being a person who is good, created once again, restored into the image of His Creator that God made. And that's where He wants each and every one of us. And that's what He has in plan for each and every one of us. This spiritual creation. In 1 Peter 1 and 22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." What in man is uncorruptible? Now, when he's talking about being corruptible, he's not talking about being corrupt in the sense of wrong. He's talking about corruptible in the sense of something that can be destroyed or something that goes away. What of us is corruptible? Our body. What is in us that is not corruptible? Something that does not go away. And that is the inner man. That is the soul and spirit that God hath put within man. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, he says, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Yes, this new man is founded in the same thing the beginning man was made in, and that was love. As we said before, we may not in our minds be able to answer why God made man. But I can tell you this, that when he made man, it was because of love. Because the Bible says God is love. Everything he does is out of goodness and out of love. And he created man, and I will guarantee you it's out of love. Well, when we're restored back into that image, we better have love within our hearts. Because he is love, and if we're going to get anywhere in this life that is to come, if we want to get there, we better have love. So much love was shown here on Calvary. Not only did God create man that because he loved him and he wanted him, but he loved him so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross, to shed his blood, that man might have hope of everlasting life. And this was all done out of love. He restores us into this man that we fell from. He puts us back to what we were designed to be in God's eyes. And that's a good person. Read in John, 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Jesus is talking about something that is not seen. Once again, we talked about how when we come into Christ, whatever our statute is, whatever our physical appearance is, that doesn't change. It's something that cannot be seen that changes. It is the inner man. It is the spiritual man. That conducts the body to do what the body does. Listen to what he says over in the book of Romans. If we turn over there and we read what he talks about here, he says, Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, beginning in verse 12, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now notice what he said there. If we live after the flesh, we will die. But if we through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, then we'll live. So, the body is the instrument of sin. Eve could have stood there and looked at that fruit. She saw, the Bible says, that it was pleasant to look at. She saw that it was good. But she had to reach out and take it. And she did. And that was a physical act. Adam, when she handed it to him, he could see the same things that she saw. But it was the body that reached out and took it, guided by the thoughts of the inner person. Now, God says we've got to change that pattern. Man's thoughts now have to become directed towards being good and doing the right things. If we live after the flesh, we'll die. We have to take the deeds of the body and mortify them so that we can live spiritually with God. We become that new creature. In John 4:23 and 24, the hour cometh now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We can understand that. We can understand when He talks about worshiping Him in spirit, He is talking about our inner attitude. He's talking about this inner person where the thoughts and the desires come from, and it's directed towards the Almighty God to please Him. Well, that's exactly what He's talking about in this life. Remember what we read in our text? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He didn't do all of this so that we could continue to be a sinful person. He didn't die on that cross and suffer all that pain so that we could just go back doing what we were doing. He did that so He could restore us in this image and we could become a new man and do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God. We indeed are renewed in that image when we come into Christ Jesus. Colossians 3 and 10 says, "And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of Him that created him." This is all the knowledge of God that brings us to Christ. When we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, according in the 8th chapter of John, Jesus says, "You believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." We repent because we realize that we have fallen from the image of God and we're not the person that we should be. When we hear about Jesus Christ and find out that He died for our sins, and as in Luke 13, He tells us, "Nay, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." We're willing with our mouth to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because that's the belief that we have that is within our heart, understanding that He came and died for our sins. And in Matthew 10 and 32, He says, "If we confess Him before man, He will confess us before the Father which is in heaven." And then we are baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, according to Acts 2 and 38. And then as we read in Galatians 3 and 27, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And if He is the image, that's the image that we have put on. And He is the image of God, His Father. You remember, He told Philip, He says, "If you've seen Me, you have seen the Father." Can people look at us and our life and the way we live and say that we're a child of God? They could look at Jesus and Jesus says, "You look at Me, not in a physical form. You look at Me and all the things I've done, the things I say, the way I act, and you've seen the Father." Now, can someone say that about us, looking at us, that they have seen the Father by the way we act? Because we're His children. Restored in the image that man fell from that day in the garden. Ephesians 4 and 24 says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." This new man is created in God created, like He created the first man, He creates the second man. But it's not a physical creation because our physical body doesn't change. It is a spiritual creation. An inner man that is born with thoughts of eternity and eternal life, not just things of this life and these physical things here. In Colossians 1, 21 and 22, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Yes, Jesus Christ, He's telling us here, has taken us and He has made us so that we are holy, we are unblameable, and we are unreprovable in His sight. He's made us what we should be. He's taken away the past. It's gone. You remember what? See what He says here? "You that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works." That's gone. When we're baptized into Jesus Christ, that old man's dead. He's washed away. We sometimes say it's hard to forget things that we've done in the past, but I can tell you God is able to do so, though we may not be. If we were to bring up something that happened prior to our baptism, God would have no remembrance of it if it were wrong, because He has taken it away. He no longer sees the old sinner. He now sees the new creation. He no longer sees the old person. He now sees his son. Because that person is in his son and is in that image that Christ came and showed. In 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 57 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In this image that we've been created in, this spiritual person, one day God will come back. Jesus will send His Son here to this earth. He will tell us to rise from the dead, just like He did Lazarus that day at that gravesite. And all the dead, the Bible says, will rise. All of us. And then this mortal, corruptible, fleshly body will put on incorruption and immortality, and we'll be with the Lord forever. Now, if we have changed into the image of God that created us, if we have returned back to what we fell from, we can look forward to that one day. But if we have not, then an eternal damnation is what faces man. Wrath of God poured out on the children of disobedience. The wrath of God poured out on sin, which took His creation, came between Him and His creation, and removed them from His presence. To return back, we must follow the steps of salvation. We must do what the Scriptures has shown us. John 8:51 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." You'll never worry about being separated from God. The word death is separation. It doesn't mean that we're not going to die in the body, because the Bible tells us that we are. Jesus is not contradicting that. What He's saying is, we'll never see death. You'll never see an eternal death. You'll never see a separation between you and your God if you're in Jesus Christ. Titus 2:14 says, "Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." That's what we were created to be in Christ, a peculiar people. And that word peculiar doesn't mean that we look strange. Doesn't mean that we look different. Peculiar in this word means possessed. He possesses us. Just like Paul says in the Corinthian letter, ye are bought with a price. When he says here that he has gave himself for us, that he can redeem us from all the iniquity that we had, and he can purify unto himself a peculiar people, it's that he can purify unto himself a people he has purchased unto good works. Once again, that's what we're to be created in. This morning, I hope we have touched upon something of interest to us, to study our Bibles and to see the wonderful plan of God. See what God did for us, each and every one of us, so that He today has made us to be in His image through His Son, Jesus Christ. There be one this morning. Won't you come while we stand and sing?